night is KJ4WZM. My name is Daniel. My location is Travelers Rest. In the interest and promotion of amateur radio, this net is called nightly at 9 p.m. In the event of emergency, this net will be activated. Cedar Top, Cedar's Head Mountain, about 2 miles south of the North Carolina, South Carolina border near Highway 276. The repeater is at an elevation of 3,500 feet and has an effective radiating power of 100 watts. This repeater is owned and operated by the Blue Ridge Amateur Radio Society, and all amateurs licensed to operate on the frequency are invited to check in. For the net. Formal traffic bulletins or announcements for the net, please call KJ4WZM or net control.
4WZM, KED2BNG. I have an announcement.
Go ahead with your announcement. That would be good.
Yeah, earlier today found out KI4MLN, that's Al Lincoln, is seriously ill in hospital. He's at Spartanburg Regional Hospital, or I think the annex on the other side of the road, Pelham Hospital. And I don't know the details, only that he was had to be taken out of there in ambulance. Basically couldn't stand up, couldn't move. And you know, I guess no visitors would be allowed in any case, even, you know, there's COVID protocol, but in any case, he's in ICU. So, you know, send your best wishes to Al, KI4MLN. Announcement ends.
I was not aware of that. Not good news at all. I appreciate you letting everybody know. Wow. I'm going to go ahead and check you in as well. Want me to check you in Graycourt?
Correct. Glenn in Graycourt, what's my call sign? KD2BNG, in Graycourt sitting in my driveway, because I got to take the mobile radio and put it somewhere else.
That sounds good. Looks like my... My radio is running low on battery right now. I need to go look for my other one. My other battery. Alright, are there any other bulletins or announcements for net? Please call KJ4WZM or net control. The battery's hung up. I have to set this radio up in a charger. Are there any Echolink stations that would like to check into the Blue Ridge Tribune Internet? Please call KJ4WZM or Net Control. I tell you, Dave, you here?
I'm here, Daniel. You need me to pick it up while you work on your battery situation?
For just a second. I only have a certain length of coax cable, and I don't have enough room to put this thing in a charger, so I'm going to have to get my spare motorcycle battery and a power inverter over here. So I got to go get that stuff real quick.
Okay, well, I'll go ahead and go through your pre-net check-ins and look for any new amateur radio operators, and we'll see where you are by the time you get back. This is W4DJW picking up the Blue Ridge 2-meter net with acknowledgement of the pre-net check-in list. Net Control would like to recognize W4FCM, that's Fred, he's over in Traveler's Rest, and N4IEI, that's Miss Isla. Appreciate you and Miss Isla being there with us tonight, Fred. Net Control would also like to recognize KK4KCA, that's Jim, or James, over in Star, South Carolina. Good to have you with us tonight, James. K4XMR, that's Melvin in Prosperity, South Carolina. Good to have you with us tonight, Melvin. KA5WLL, that's Leroy over in Taylor's. Good to have you this night, Leroy. K2AMD, that's Andrew in Simpsonville. Appreciate you being there with us tonight, Andrew. KJ4HKC, that's John in Belton, South Carolina. Good to have you tonight, John. KM4RJN, that's John with no H over in Brown Summit, North Carolina. Good to have you this night, John, if you're listening. Appreciate you being here tonight. And KC4W, that's Bill. He's over in Anderson. He's a loyal patron of the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. Good to have you with us tonight, Bill. KO4RUR, that's Chris. He's over in Greenville, South Carolina. Appreciate you being with us tonight, Chris. W2MJB, that's Mark, and he brings with him KN4HTP, that's Miss Wendy. They're over in Simpsonville. There are Sunday and Monday night net control operators. Appreciate you being with us tonight. Mark, tell Miss Wendy we said hello. We're going to take a brief moment now for brand new amateur radio operators that have never checked into a net before to see if you'd like to take advantage of this opportunity to not have to worry about the protocol. Just throw your call sign out there and I'll do the rest, W4DJW and the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. Okay, nothing heard this evening, but we'll keep trying and see if we can get any other brand new amateur radio operators as they take their tests and pass their tests. KJ4WZM, Daniel, are you back? Okay, well, I can start your first alphabetical group if you want me to. They give you a little bit more time. Sounds good. Net Control would like, let's see, this is a direct net. All stations with or without traffic are invited to check in. As you check in, give your call, name, location, and signal your intent to remain on the net for the RAGCHU portion. Tonight being Friday night, we're going to begin with Uniform through Zulu. Stations with the first letter of the suffix they call that begins with letters U through Z and would like to check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net, call W4DJW.
4DJW. Please check in Kilo November 4, Uniform Bravo Golf. That's KN4, UBG, B Kevin. I'll be in Fountain Inn, be mobile. Getting ready to get out and go to work here on the garage door. If you don't mind, check me in, and check me out. 73 is to you and everybody on the net. Hope everybody's doing well.
Okay, Kevin, you might have that one all to yourself. might listen out for KM4VWA. His wife broke his garage door. He might need his garage door fixed. I don't know. It depends on whether he can fix it for himself or not. Net Control, I'd like to recognize KM4UBG. That's Kevin. He is mobile. And be careful out there on the mobile, Kevin, and appreciate you taking the time to check in with us this evening. Any other stations in the Uniform through Zulu group that would like to check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net, call W4DJW.
Check in Kilo Oscar 4, November Hotel, KO4, NNH, on the HT tonight. In Greer with the Cub Scouts of Greer. 73 to you, Dave, and all the net. I will be negative and negative.
Okay, Net Control, I'd like to recognize KO4 NNH. That's Fred, and he is on the handheld tonight with a whole bunch of Cub Scouts. Good to have you with us tonight, Fred. Hope you do well with Cub Scouts out there. Be careful. Stay safe. And we do have an EchoLink station. Let's see if EchoLink station that's out there wants to check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. Net Control station, EchoLink stations only for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. Call W4DJW. Okay, he might have walked away from his station or doesn't have the ability to do audio, which is not unusual on EchoLink sometimes when people first get them set up. But if you do have if you would like to check in, you want to put a text message in that box, go ahead and do that, and Daniel or myself will pick you up on text message. Any other stations in the Uniform through Zulu group that would like to check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net, call W4DJW. Looks like not. KJ4WZM, W4DJW, you back?
Yeah, I'm back now. I've got my charger set up. Just now, I'm just scrambling for our iPhone cord because my phone's dead. I've got one in my backpack, so I'm ready to pick things back up.
Okay, with the pre-net check-ins, myself and EchoLink, we have 15 check-ins so far. And I'm going to turn it over to you. W4DJW, turn it over the Blue Ridge 2-meter net to KJ4WZM.
Glenn or not include Glenn?
That does not include Glenn.
I'm trying to, let's see, 15. That, all right, so with me, that would be 16, correct? And with you, that's 17?
I'm in the original 15, so that'd be 16 instead of 17.
16 now, correct?
So I have 15, you have yourself and Glenn, that makes 17 total. That's where we are right now.
Alpha through Delta?
Negative, I did Uniform through Zulu. Alpha through Delta is next.
Sounds good, I'm ready now. Okay, are there any... Thank you, Dave, for taking that up for me, and I'm now all set.
Do I have any stations Alpha 3 Delta that would like to check into the Blue Ridge 2 meter? Please call KJ4WZM or net control.
KJ4WZM. Daniel, please check in. Kilo Kilo 4 Delta Mike Whiskey, Rick, and my wife, Kilo Kilo 4 Oscar November Oscar, Lorena, and my daughter, Kilo Mike 4 Mike Oscar Quebec, Michelle. We're all in Piedmont and we'll all be negative and negative.
India 4, Delta Tango Yankee, KI4DTY. This is Daniel in Taylor's.
WZM. Daniel, please check in. Kilo Bravo 2, Bravo Yankee, Quebec. KB2BYQ, Dave and Easley. I'll be negative and negative tonight. 73 to everybody on the net.
KK4DMW, that is Rick. KK4ONO, his wife Lorena, and KM4MLQ, his daughter Michelle. They're home in Piedmont tonight. Next, I've got KI4DTY, that is Daniel and Taylor's, and KB2BYQ, Dave and Easley. Any other stations, Alpha through Delta, if you'd like to check into the Blue Ridge 2 meter net, please call KJ4WZM or net control. Echo 3 Hotel, Ether H, if you would like to check into the Blue Ridge 2 meter net, please call KJ4WZM or net control.
J4WZM. Check in. Kilo Charlie 4. Echo Zulu November. Harry in Cameron, North Carolina. We'll be negative negative tonight. Daniel, thanks.
I know the station in there, but you were definitely not making the machine at all. Is there anybody who is also picking up that station but might have a relay on them? This is the second time I've heard this station try to check in. Also, other station, if you want to move around some, if you can, and try to get a better signal into the machine, that would be great. Try to find where the repeater has a stronger signal going to you, and it should help you out some. Are there any other stations, E through H, Echo through Hotel, if you would like to check into the Blue Ridge 2 meter net, please call KJ4WZM or net control. Now, I through L, if you would like to check in to the Blue Ridge 2 meter net, please call KJ4WZM or net control.
Net control. Please check in and out. Kilo Oscar 4, India Sierra Golf, KO 4, ISG, Danny over here in Gaston County, Gascony.
Kilowatt Echo 4, India Romeo, Steve and Inman, I'll be negative and negative.
FKO4 ISG, that is Danny in Gastonia, and KE4 IR, Steve in Inman. Any other stations, I through L, if you'd like to check into the Blue Ridge 2 meter net, please call KJ4WZM or net control.
KJ4WZM. Please check in. Kilo Kilo 4. Juliet, Bravo, Quebec. This is Larry. Also my wife Donna. Kilo Charlie 4. Mike, Foxtrot to Kilo. We make our home in Greer. Marcus, in and out if you would please. Everyone have a good night. 7-3.
Please check in. Kilo Golf 4, Whiskey November Papa. Landing via Echo Link, Eleuthera, in and out.
I had two stations try to check in at the same time, just saying. First one was, I've got an Echo Link station, KG4WNP, that is Landon. Landon, are you in Liberty tonight, or are you elsewhere? Landon, I guess I'm going to go ahead and mark you down as Liberty. I didn't quite catch that if you came back, but I'll mark you down as being in Liberty. Station at check-in at the same time. If I didn't recognize you, if you wouldn't mind, please try again. Call KJ4WZM or net control.
Control. 4HWY. Kilo 4 Hotel Whiskey Yankee in Saluda, North Carolina. Please check me in and out. I'll be negative and negative.
Name.
Name here is Marcial, M-A-R-C-I-A-L.
Yep. K4HWY, Marcial in Saluda, North Carolina. Alrighty, I'm going to take a break here for Echolink stations. Any Echolink stations, if you'd like to check into the Blue True Internet, please call KJ4WZM or Net Control.
KK4WZM. KN4 Charlie Hotel Yankee. KN4CHY Keith and Seneca. Negative and negative. I was the one that having issues early on. Not sure what's going on with the radio. Over.
Thank you, Keith. Thanks for coming back to me. No problem on that. I would like to recognize KN4CHY. That is Keith and Seneca. Any other Echolink stations, if you'd like to check into the Blue Stream Internet, please call KJ4WZM or Net Control. So we'll go ahead and pick up to Mike through Papa now. Actually, hold on 1 second. I'll make one last call, I through L. Any other stations, I through L, please call KJ4WZM or Net Control. Papa, enter P. If you'd like to check into the Blue Ridge Internet, please call KJ4WZM or Net Control.
WZM. Please check in. Kilowatt 4, Oscar India Mike. Walt and Edmund. I'll be negative and negative tonight, Daniel. I got to catch up on some sleep.
So Oscar 4, November Uniform Echo. Name is Chad. QTH is Campobello. Please also check in my wife. Kilo Oscar 4, Romeo Yankee Papa. Her name is Anna. We'll be in and out tonight. In and out tonight, Daniel. Thank you for calling the net, sir.
K4OIM, that is Walt and Emmett. KO4NUE, that is Chad. And KO4RYP, that's Anna. They're in Campobello tonight. Any other stations, M3P, if you'd like to check to, into the Blue Ridge Internet, please call KJ4WZM or Net Control. I did want to tell Walt, if he's still in there, good luck catching up on that sleep, Walt, and I'll catch you next time. And, Chad, I hope you and your family are doing well. Thank y'all for being some of my regular actors on here. Everybody needs a break every now and then. I hope y'all have a good night. I'll miss you. All right, let's see. Any other stations? We'll go ahead. Well, I'll go ahead up to Quebec through Tango now. Q through T, if you'd like to check into the Blue Ridge Internet, please call KJ4WZM or Net Control.
Jim, Kilo Oscar 4, Romeo Alpha X-Ray. This is Jim in Dacusville, and I'll be negative and negative.
KZM. Please check in Kilo 4, Romeo Oscar Whiskey. K4RW, Rich and Green with no traffic and no roundtable.
Recognize. KF4RYX, that is Jim in Dacusville, and K4ROW, Richard in Greenville. We'll go ahead and open it all the way up through the alphabet now. A through Z, Z through A, if you'd like to check into the Blue Ridge Stream Internet, please call KJ4WZM or Net Control.
KJ4WZM. Again, Kilo Charlie 4, Echo, Zulu November, Harry and Cattler, negative, negative, right, Daniel, thanks.
I don't know if I didn't recognize you before or not, but I've already got you written down here. And go ahead, recheck.
Thank you, Daniel. This is K4OIM. I ain't gonna leave you hanging tonight. I'll stick around for a few minutes, Daniel, for some right chew.
I didn't mean to make you feel guilty. I really, really, really didn't.
Net Control. Check in Kilo Oscar 4, Bravo Delta Mike, Jim and Taylor's, and I'll be negative, negative.
Nice. KO4BDM, that is Jim and Taylor's. Any other stations? A through Z, Z through A, please call KJ4WZM or net control.
Check Daniel.
CM. Please check in, KI4DOS, Gary. Also K3JOY, that's my pretty little bright joy. We're at home at Easley, no traffic, no chew tonight. Good evening, Q Daniel, and all on the net.
Net control. Good evening, one and all. Would you please check in November 4, Hotel Charlie Foxtrot, N4HCF. This is Paul down in Anderson. No traffic and no comments tonight. Just wanted to stop by and say hi to everybody. 73.
Yeah, 4DOS, Gary and his wife Joy, K3JOY. They're home at Easley tonight. Also, N4HCF, Paul and Anderson. And I can't remember if I recognized KO4BDM, Jim and Taylor's or not, but if I didn't, well, we recognize them anyways. And I also had a recheck in there. So, go ahead, recheck.
Just KC4ECN, not really worried about being left out, Daniel, but I was concerned whether the radio was working. This radio sometimes has problems, and when you didn't recognize me, I thought, did it work or not? So it's working, so we're cool. And Wolf comes back, tell him to get his eyes fixed. I had mine done, and he's going to really like it. We'll turn it back to you, Daniel. KC4EZN.
I'm really sorry. I didn't recognize you. Definitely an oversight on my part. I used to have this habit if I would draw a line next to whatever check-in or was last that I had recognized, and I cut that habit out, and I don't even know why I stopped. But ever since then, I'm remembering exactly where I left off, so I'm going to start doing that again. I'll draw a line underneath the last one that I checked in, and that'll fix that problem. So, thanks for coming back to me anyways. I do have you checked in, and I think Walt is still in here, so I'll remind him again. If he does hang around for Rags, I'll remind him for you to go get his eyes fixed. I'm glad to hear your eyes are doing better, Harry. That's good. And thanks for checking in with me tonight. Thanks for coming back to me. Alrighty. Any stations A through Z, Z through A, please call KJ4WZM or net control. Here anymore. So, this is KJ4WZM now securing the formal portion of the net with our thanks for checking in. All stations wishing to secure may do so. So now I begin the RAC 2 portion of the net with periodic stops for check-ins between RAC 2s. Alrighty. Well, are you still hanging around?
Yeah, I'm still here, and I hope Harry's still here. I got one of them peaks Wednesday, Harry, and I did not feel any pain at all. And I can sit here now and take my, I wear bifocals, and I can sit here and cover my right eye, and I can read everything I want to read, Harry. I mean, it was absolutely painless, except for the IV, and I've got tough skin anyway from working out in the sun running heavy equipment. The IV kind of hurt a little bit, or stung a little bit, but man, I can't believe I can see now. I get the right eye done in 3 weeks.
Good to hear that, Walt. I managed to get through. The worst part of mine was having to put eye drops in every 4 hours. That was just a hassle. But dealing with my eyes, I did exactly what the doctor said, and I was absolutely amazed. What I did was I covered up the eye that they hadn't fixed and was looking through the one they had fixed, and I could look out the window and the leaves were a bright green and I could see the edge of the leaves. And when I covered that eye up and went back to the one that hadn't been fixed, the leaves went from being a bright green to a kind of a goldish green, and the edges of them got a little bit fuzzy. And I thought, boy, I can't wait to get both eyes working. And I've got a pair of glasses coming. I've still got a little bit of astigmatism. But I just absolutely am just amazed at what I am now seeing and how much better it is. So anyway, we'll turn it back to you, Walt. That is absolutely wonderful. It's good to hear. Back to Ned, KC4EZN.
Sure, Ned.
I ain't no problem, y'all. Making a mental note here because someday, eventually down the road, my eyes will also go bad. What was it that y'all had done that all of a sudden you can see really good now? What was it?
Cataracts on both eyes. And I've been wearing bifocals for about 12 years now. And I had the surgery done Wednesday morning. And I had to go back to the clinic yesterday morning for them to check and make sure I wasn't developing any kind of infection or anything out of my left eye. And, Daniel, I can't believe how blue the sky is. Last night, I turned the computer on, and it went up to the home screen. And it had a blue background, and it wasn't dark blue. It was real bright blue. But I'd cover my left eye and look at it through my right eye, and it was that dark blue again. I had hated the thought of somebody messing with my eyes, but N0TR and Harry, they had talked to me about it. And the VA had already told me I was not getting any more glasses. I had to have the cataracts took off. And this just opened up a whole new world to me, Daniel. KJ4WZM, K4OAM.
That's really impressive, and I'm overjoyed to hear that. Makes a very, very, very big difference when you can see clearly or not. I'll tell you what, even now, my eyes aren't bad at all. I can still, I still have better than 20/20 vision and stuff, but I can tell a difference from when I was younger versus now. And I can say that I know that my eyes are heading downhill. They're not terrible yet. They're still really good, probably better than average. But I can tell a difference from when I was younger. I can't imagine if my eyesight actually got really bad, that how much that would bother me. So I'm making a mental note because I know someday that'll happen. All my family wears glasses. I'm like the only one that doesn't. So I don't really have that good of an outlook. Genetically speaking, I'm doomed. So, I'm trying to make a mental note here. Harry had the same thing done.
As a Roger Daniels, KC4EZN, I have gotten to the point that, and you don't notice it, it happens so slowly. Basically, a cataract is that lens in there gets cloudy. There comes a point to where glasses can only go so far, and I had gotten with my right eye, I think 2 years ago, the eye doctor told me, he says, you're about 20/30 in that eye, and he said, that's the best I can get it. He says, you're not quite ready for a cataract, and when I went this past year, he says, I'm not going to insist that you go this year, but he says, when you come back next year, he says, I am going to insist. And I said, well, right now things are looking good. My health is good. I said, let's get it done if I'm ready. And he says, well, he says, you are technically ready. And he says, I can't do anything else with glasses to help you out any. So he got it all set up, and like Walt said, I had not realized, you know, how things had changed, because when I look out the window and see the green tree leaves, they were kind of goldish green, and I thought that's what they look like, because that's what I was seeing. And when I got that one eye fixed and I could compare the two of them, and the other eye was not nearly as bad. Oh, it's just that when they do them, they like to do both of them. And I say, when that day comes, don't hesitate at all. Get it done. And like I say, and like Walt said, the colors are much sharper and cleaner, and I can drive, or I can tell a little bit the astigmatism kicking in when I'm driving, and when I had my eyes checked, and you can remember this, Walt, your Medicare insurance will help you out with glasses if you need them when you've had cataract surgery. Now, the VA may do something for you, too, but I know when I went back to have my eyes checked, the doctor showed me the difference between no glasses and what he could put on me, and there is a difference. It's not much, but it's noticeable. And he says, your insurance will help you out some with the new glasses. So that's the way we went, and I'm waiting on them. I don't really need them to drive. I've got reading glasses, or anything that comes a little closer than the length of my arm, if it's a little tiny print, I can't make it out. So I've got some reading glasses from the drugstore. Makes the letters bigger. On the computer, I just changed the font to a size big enough to see. But anyway, yeah, don't be afraid to have it done. It's just a little bit of a hassle, depending on how they do it. But you'll be amazed at the difference. And like I say, you won't notice it over time that it's changing, because it happens so slowly. Anyway, back to you, Daniel. W4DJW, KC4EZN. Enjoyed it.
I wasn't aware of that, so that's really neat, finding out about that. One of the things that happens to my eyes over time, how I know there's a difference compared to when I was younger. I go down the road and I see a gas station sign in the distance, and it looks like it says all fuzzy eights, and then when I finally get closer, I can actually see what it says. But I have to be a whole lot closer now than what I used to be. It's not so much that I can't see things at a far distance away, but when it is something that is emitting light, it looks much, much more blurry than what it used to before. So things that don't emit light, I can see pretty clearly, but when something lights up, like Christmas lights or an illuminated street sign or whatever, it's very difficult for me to see exactly what it is. The image is no longer sharp like what it used to be. It's somewhat distorted looking, and that's different from when I was younger. So that's why I was curious. I still have a long time left before I need to consider anything like that. It's just a very, very, very minor impact on my vision now, but I know that due to what's happened with the rest of my family, someday I'll need to think about that. Everybody in my family has glasses. I'm pretty much the only one that doesn't. I only have one other brother that doesn't wear glasses.
Tonight, Daniel, look at the headlights, and if they have, if they look like Starburst, you might want to have that checked. That's what I noticed. Mine wasn't too bad, and I really did not have a lot of problem driving at night, but I got to noticing that those headlights, instead of being nice, round, shiny thing, they look like Starburst. Not real bad, but enough that I could tell it. And that's sort of one of the little telltale things that you look at, that you can tell that you're beginning to sneak up on cataracts. That'll be the first thing you notice. Anyway, we're going to back out of here and listen a little bit more and see what else is happening. Back to Nets, KC4EZN.
Hey, I'm glad to hear that you see better now. That's super good. Alrighty, and I'm going to pass it back to Walt now. Good talk to you, Harry. KC4EZN, KJ4WZM. K4OI, are you still in there, Walt?
K4OI, yeah, I'm still here. Maybe you need to get your eyes checked, Daniel. They might be worse off than you think, because if you have them fixed, maybe you could see that you need to get that front end under that truck of yours.
I hear you. I found everything set up now to do that, so kind of out of excuses now. I've got all the parts that I need, and I need to unbolt all that stuff. It's just procrastination. And I'm thinking about starting work on that tomorrow, putting it up on some blocks and dropping the suspension and everything out from underneath it, taking everything apart. So I'll have to let you know how that goes. And today was new for me. I did oversized load by myself today. For the first time, beginning to end, I strapped it myself, brought it to where it needed to go, unstrapped it, and then a crane took it off. I had a piece of concrete that was 12 feet long, 12 feet wide, I don't know how many feet tall, and weighed about 40,000 pounds. So that was my job for today.
Motor grader, yeah, Daniel.
And a steamroller, all on the same low boy trailer.
Do you ride down 85 coming from Anderson back toward Mullen with a crazy boss man driving the low boy, and he's over in the right lane, and they had those concrete dividers up, and there was a freight train of tractor trailers passing on the left with that motor grader, and we had the blade curl up under it and twisted back as far to the right as it would go, and their tractor trailer, they was right up against that low boy, and Ed would holler at me, "Can I get over? Can I get over?" And he was knocking all of those yellow reflectors off of the concrete divider with the blade on the low boy, Daniel.
Wow, that doesn't sound fun at all. I had a nice one today, actually. It was a little bit similar to that, but much different. I had that 12-foot-wide piece of concrete, and I crossed exit 21 bridge over 85. And I had a semi coming up on me from the other side of the bridge, and he was texting on his phone, actually, and he was on the double yellow line, and I had to cross that bridge and try not to hit his truck or the concrete side of the bridge, and I had barely enough room, but that semi driver never even looked up from his phone to see an oversized load was coming by him, and I was on edge about that. I was pretty mad.
With McMillan Brothers, and they couldn't keep a low boy driver, and I needed a pan on the job down there at BMW, and the closest pan was on a job over in Welford, and the superintendent, he said, "Get in the truck, let's go to Welford." I went over there, and he wanted me to road that thing all the way from Welford back to BMW, and I took the back roads all back through there, and George told me, he said, "Walt, just remember to keep the driver's seat right on the center line. That way you won't take out any cars coming on the coming out of the side roads, and the people coming towards you, they can see that big earth mover over on that side of the road, and they'll pull off to the side and let you by." I got back to BMW. I said, "Well, George, how'd I do?" He said, "Well, you didn't take no cars out, but I counted 15 mailboxes I got to go back and pay for."
Wow, that's crazy. That takes the cake on our boy driver. He's been driving with us 2 years now and has taken out 10 mailboxes in 2 years. So, I haven't taken out any yet. I would feel bad for the first one. But after about 4 or 5, it won't be as bad because the company just goes back and pays for them and they don't really say anything about it. They don't really care. Because they make enough during those runs. Those are expensive runs, so the customers get charged a lot. And so they have the profit margin to deal with little mishaps like that. The biggest thing they told us is don't hit any cars. Mailboxes can be replaced, but cars can be huge lawsuits. So at all costs, avoid cars, pedestrians, anything else like that, but a mailbox if you're put into that position.
Here it is. I have been on a piece of equipment moving it. I had to drive, they don't call it driving it, they say roading it, a rubber tire backhoe from up there at right where 85 crosses 29 there in Welford. I had to drive one from there all the way down to the other side of Spartanburg down there at Whitestone. I went down 29. Now, man, I was getting at that thing top speed and high gear was about 40 miles an hour. I got down there on 295 bypass. It goes down by the end of the runway there at Spartanburg Downtown Airport. I went down through there all right, but it was going to take me all day to get to the job site. Well, when I got up there to where 295 crosses over the railroad track that Page's Fishing Lake's on the left, there's a big hill down through there. And that thing was a straight drive. So I said, well, I could go faster if I pushed the clutch in going down the hill. I dropped off that hill. That thing got, I must have been running 50, 60 miles an hour. And with them rubber tires, that thing got to bouncing. And I didn't know whether to set the front bucket down, because the bucket on the boom, it was already bouncing up and down in the road. I said, no, I can't do that. I'll kill myself. So I dropped the clutch out, thinking it was going to gear it down. That sucker, it jumped out of gear, and I had to ride that thing to the bottom. I got down there, I thought I was going to have to go home and change pants. And the manager, the superintendent of the equipment, I got that thing stopped, and I was sitting there shaking like a leaf. I reached there and got me a cigarette, and Oliver pulled up there. Walt, you going to ever get that thing to the job or not? You can smoke when you get to the job, but that was the scariest I ever been in my life, Daniel.
Oh, man, that would be really, really scary. A lot of that heavy equipment like that, they do have it maxed out at 40 miles an hour and 4 top speed. I got looking at some of Caterpillar's great big mining trucks the other day. Those things have a 6-speed straight drive transmission as well. So actually, I think it was 7. No, it's 7 of them. 7 gears on this one. One of the great big Caterpillar ones made to hold, I think it was 250,000 pounds inside the dump. And that thing is governed at 39.9 miles an hour. But the tires are 9.5 feet tall on it, too. I can't imagine trying to drive that thing faster than 40 miles an hour anyway. That would be really scary. I bet with the tires that size, too, they'd be unbalanced. I bet they'd be jumping around like crazy at that speed. Even 40 miles an hour, it probably wouldn't feel good.
Before OIM tried to hit. Yeah, once they get the bouncing, the only thing you can do is come to a complete stop and start off all over again through the gears. I've drove some old Ukes that this guy used to work for. He had them when we were working down there at BMW. They had the duplex transmission in them. You had 5 gears forward on one stick and the stick beside it. You come back in low, if you had a load on it, you pull that one back in low. Then you went through your other 5 gears. Then you got a, you had to double clutch it every time you changed gears because the transmission wasn't synchronized. You had to double clutch that thing and take your left arm and reach through the spokes in the steering wheel and shift that, I can't remember if it was a 5 or a 7 speed. You'd have to shift it, double clutch again, and then take your right hand and push that other shifter up into higher range and bring the right shifter back down in the first gear, would have been the next higher gear. Man, those things were complicated. And if you missed the gear, your hand stayed, the palm of your hand was so sore when you got off of work that evening. If you missed the gear that day, or sometimes they would kick out of gear and kick the ball on top of the shifter right into the palm of your hand. It's a good thing you're young and brand, coming up on this new equipment now. Everything's automatic now, just about, Daniel.
Yeah, I have a 13-speed manual that I drive, and we have a twin-stick Mac that shifts just like you were talking about, but I haven't gotten to drive that one yet. The boss man sometimes drives that one, but I haven't learned how to drive it yet. But it shifts the exact same way that you're talking about. One of those twin-stick things, reach your steering wheel and shift your gears and all that stuff. Yep, we've got one of those, and it's actually still running. It still drives around. But I haven't driven it yet. They say they gotta teach me how to drive it, though.
Learn how to drive one. You'll be stuck with it, Daniel.
The one I drive is a 13-speed manual. It has a low and a high range lever on it, as well as a splitter on the side for the differential. KJ4 WZM. So, low, 1, 2, 3, 4, and low range. And then I have 5 low, 5 high, 6 low, 6 high, 7 low, 7 high, 8 low, and 8 high on high range with the splitter.
That's the Road Ranger, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, them things, I love them. They are sweet. I drove an old, what was that? It was a GMC that had a Detroit inline six diesel in it. It was a beer truck that my boss man bought and converted it into a flatbed that you just dropped the ramps down and could load the track hole up on it. And boy, if you ever over-reeled that thing, like pulling off at a stop sign or be on a hill down there on Pine Street at Spartanburg, that red light there right at Pine Street and St. John, where Winthrop College is on the left, that red light's on the hill. 9 times out of 10, when I would go to pull off there, in first gear, I'd over-reeled that engine, and the white smoke would boil out the tail, out the exhaust pipe, and then you'd just shut down. And you had to sit there in that traffic and wind and wind and wind that thing to get it to fire back up and get that thing going. I hated them old Detroits. Did you ever operate one of them yet?
Haven't been lucky enough to avoid that.
Street. I've been down to Packlet and got 18 ton of number 5, Washtonia. I was coming down Pine Street. At that red light there where the sugar and spice is. And an airline broke. Lost all my air. So it automatically locked down. And I'm there in all that morning traffic. No tools, no radio, no cell phone. I did have a pair of channel locks. I got out, went back there to the back, crawled under that thing, and backed off on them springs on that rotor chamber that locks the air brakes down so it would freewheel. And I had it figured out. I could just about come all the way down Pine Street, anywhere I want to go through them red lights, and I could gear that thing down and get it to where I wouldn't have to stop if the light was red. I could time it out. But I came back down up to Springfield Subdivision out here on number 9. And the light was red. And I was watching. I knew it was fixing to turn green. And I had already geared down. And I started gearing up, winding that thing up. The light turned green, and here come a state trooper out of that road coming from Springfield. And I T-boned him. I slid him about 200 feet down to where the old Ingalls was. I feel all four tires, they just roll off out under that patrol car. And you would have seen him. All I could do was look down over the windshield and that big old Mack had it. And I said, I'm going to jail now. I'm going to jail. And it wasn't but a few minutes. I've never seen so many cops in all my life. And he told them, I pulled out in front of him. It was my fault. I never did tell him I didn't have no brakes.
Up just then, I guess it didn't. Wow, that's crazy. Did he have his lights on, or did he run his red light?
Caution light, and I got him. But Daniel, changing the subject. The only radio you got is an HT now.
That's all I got right now.
Craig back here, I can't remember how many watts it is, whether it's 25 and 50 or 10 and 25. It's a mobile unit. If you've got a Paris Fly, if you want to borrow it, you can get a radio. You're welcome to it. If you want to buy it, I'll sell it to you for $20.
I don't have a power supply. I need to get me a power supply, and I need to get me a mobile radio hooked up, and I need to get me some coax from the wire, man.
Got coax here, too. I just went up to wire, man, about a month ago and got one roll 100 feet on it. I got another 50-foot roll I got from him, and I think I've got, well, I know I've got two more 50-foot rows of RG-58X. That's all I run, Kyle. I ain't run no amplifier in here for my HL for nothing. But if you just want to borrow it, I got a power supply here, but five transistors that went out on it, and they are $8 a piece, and I'm not about to order them because I'm waiting on recap kits for three or four different radios. I've got two or four here now, and it said they'd be here in 2 weeks, and it's been going on 3 months, and I got an email a couple of days ago saying it might be late December or early January before I can get them. Man, This country's getting in bad shape, Daniel.
A lot worse than I ever thought it would be. It's probably sitting down there in one of them shipping containers down there waiting to come into port, 49 miles off the coast.